Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here in the studio, I have students from Sale High School. Joining me is Olivia Spears. Olivia is a senior. She's into the National Honor Society, Human Relations Club, and cheerleading.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Melvin Jose Torres, he's also a senior. The National Honor Society, Human Relations, and Ukulele Club, and Poetry Club. Yeah. Okay. He enjoys all of them.
I do. Thanks for them for having me here, and I just want to give a shout-out to my family.
Okay. All right. And we have Jude Countryman. Jude was here before. We're always glad to have him. He is a junior. He is also National Honor Society and Video Club.
Hello.
Devin Doyle. Devin is a regular, and we're really going to miss him a lot. He is a senior, and he is into soccer and ancient Rome history, is that right? And computers.
That's me.
Always welcome to have sales students, okay? You all have been around, or at least your school has been around a long time with 411 Teen since its inception. Immigration has been a hot topic for the nation's beginning. In 1776, most Americans were immigrants, or descendants or immigrants, from the British Isles. The majority were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who came in search of economic opportunity or to escape religious or political persecution. There are currently 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States, mostly from Mexico and other Latin American countries, but also from Asia, Africa, Europe, and Canada. There's general agreement that America's immigration system needs fixing, but that is where the consensus ends. The overall number of detained migrant children has exploded. It stands at its highest. According to the New York Times, it has reached 12,800. The numbers are straining both the system who cares for them and the children. When we talk about just the immigration system today overall, how do you feel about it? What do you think are the main issues when we're looking at immigration? And I can just start with, I'm looking at you, so you're in the hot seat, Olivia.
I think the main issues we're facing is the fact that we see it more as a problem, a consistent problem, and instead of looking at the problem logically and thinking of a solution that best fits everyone, we do what we think is most convenient. And people forget that these are children. These are from anywhere from the ages of infants to toddlers to even teenagers. And, you know, how would you like if, you know, regular children were placed in these situations? That's a very scary thing. And people don't think of it as that way. They think of them as like these children that are going to come and, like, ruin their lives when they're just children.
Good point. Good point. Other comments? I'd like to hear from all of you at some point.
I do believe, like, as, you know, a family of immigrants, you know, we had to leave. Well, my mom had to leave El Salvador. You know, she wanted a better life than what's from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. As a first generation into the United States, we faced a lot of difficulties, a lot of, you know, problems, a lot of racism.
Can you share some of the difficulties just so people have a feel and have an understanding? I think that'd be real beneficial. Because like Olivia's saying, we don't think and people don't know. Whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
No, I'm comfortable with sharing. a lot of difficulties that, you know, as an Hispanic American, I have to deal with it on a regular basis is when I'm speaking to another Hispanic American in Spanish, all I hear in the background, you know, whispers are being like, look at those two Mexicans over there, mm-hmm. or that's the lightest, that's the, you know, mm-hmm. frosting on the cake of racial slurs.
Just because you, and one question I was going to throw out there, and we can come back to it, is do you think that because folks are American, they have to speak standard English? But I want to hear what you all here feel about immigration, and then we'll get back to that. Okay. What
do you think? I mean, there's some issues with it, but, you know, like, there is a reason for having certain laws in place and for limiting immigrants and such, mm-hmm. but the way that the system is sometimes, it's kind of, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes when people think about immigration, mm-hmm. they're like thinking about others and not really thinking about them as people, and we sometimes forget to think about what they have to go through to get here, to see us a better life.
You raised some good points, too, because that's what, I mean, basically, that's what everybody's saying, that, you know, we tend to compartmentalize, to separate them. You know, and so that's them. We're not going to deal with them. They don't have any idea. And, you know, currently in the United States, it grants citizenship automatically to everyone that's born on our soil, including children of legal non-citizens, tourists, even illegal immigrants. Children of diplomats are the exception. What do you think about this policy? As long as you're born here, then you're naturalized, okay? I think it's the 14th, the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, ratified in 1868, says that citizenship must be granted to all persons born or naturalized in the United States.
That makes sense, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
For me, I was born in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
So I was, you know, privileged to get that, you know, that citizenship here, that growing up with, you know, and probably in the lower class, that, you know, again, some of the struggles they had to deal mm-hmm. with. And my mother recently, not too long ago, just became a United States citizen.
Oh, wow. Congratulations
Thank
to
you.
Her. Yeah.
The fact that she came here to America when she was 18 years old, and she's, I don't want to give a woman her age, but she's older.
And she's older now.
I don't want to be rude.
Okay.
But the fact that it took her, you know, 20 odd plus years mm-hmm. just to be able to say, I'm a proud American and I'm proud to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was going a little off topic, but to say that the granted of privilege, and a lot of people, when you say territory, my brain automatically went to the year 1917 when Puerto Rico became a U.S. territory. A lot of people don't know that information, and I feel like that's important to reference on this show. In fact, I'm also half Puerto Rican. My father is Puerto Rican, and his father was Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's a touchy subject when it comes to American and Puerto Ricans,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, it's that we're able to, you know, fly Puerto Rico and United States
right.
back and forth, and we don't need a visa.
But, right.
And again, just to say that, like, we were gladly, you know, to be part of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And as for my mother, it was a very difficult struggle to go through. You know, just to see my mom, like, constantly, you know, study the pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
And on those pamphlets, we still have those pamphlets, that the things you have to study for. Growing up in the public school,
We don't even know half of it.
Mm-hmm. When I was reading it, I was like, I have never heard of this. Like, I bet a good majority of us don't know, like, the first 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was, like, sitting in the kitchen constantly helping my mom study, like, this huge exam that could, you know, say, we don't want you here anymore. We're going to send you back. It was the most difficult, most pressured, and most anxiety-ridden. It's like cramming for the huge test that's going to either make or break your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I bet that was high anxiety time.
It was, every single day.
Well, congratulations to her.
Thank
for
you.
Real. That's fantastic. Okay. Americans, I think, have a long history of, well, everybody here is some kind of immigrant, okay? Their history indicates that. But we're always very wary of newcomers. Some say, you know, these new people coming in take the jobs from Americans. Others argue that they're jobs that Americans don't want in the first place, and, you know, what would we do without them? What do you think? How do you feel about that and the jobs?
I think that is that the Americans, like, many Americans think, like, oh, this is mine, like, that is my job, but in the actual real world, nothing is truly yours. You don't necessarily have a right to it as much as anyone else does. So it's a real issue to me that, like, even now I hear just people in general saying, oh, well, if they come to America, they should learn English. They have to be American. But to completely tell somebody you have to give up your language or you have to give up your heritage and your culture because that's not what we want. But who are we or anyone to tell people who they can and cannot be? And that's, you know, a real issue, especially with, you know, like the workplace. And I think that it's a ridiculous thing to just say, oh, they're going to steal our jobs and like ruin our economy when right now, many immigrants are the
integral part of the economy.
Of the economy right now, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And people don't think that, but that is the truth. And whether they like it or not, that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we were all immigrants at one point. Native Americans were here before we were, but why do we have more of a right than they would?
Right. Well, hold your thoughts. I mean, all of you have raised some really serious issues that we need to even investigate further. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens. This hour, I have students from Sale High School. We are talking about immigration and looking at the detained children here in the country. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and this hour I'm talking with students from Sale High School. Again, I welcome Olivia Spears, Melvin Jose Torres, Jude Countryman, and Devin Doyle. We have just been looking at immigration and all that goes along with it. Do you think, are we being hypocritical when we say, you know, workers can pick our fruit and our vegetables as long as they don't become citizens? Because that's another, basically, you could look at it that way. Yeah, come over here, work, pick our fruit, pick our vegetables, but you can't become a citizen.
That's a very crazy thing, but because it's very hard to become a citizen. There are people now who are in, you know, other countries who are on a wait list that, you know, sometimes they never even get here. And even still, it's a very lengthy process once you are here, you know, and people don't think that it is. They think that it's a very easy thing. But I think of citizenship as more of a privilege. You have the right, as you have the privilege and right as American, and you don't ever get that taken away. But other people can,
mm-hmm.
because they're an immigrant, and that's a very insane thing to think about. And these people, you know, there are Americans who have so many opportunities that are born here that don't take those opportunities. You know, there's many people who don't get high school degrees, many people who don't take advantage of education, and many people who do illegal, worse things than being an illegal immigrant, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really great points. Thank you for really sharing those. But I want to take a little small details that you mentioned earlier, Olivia. The fact that, and also a little bit of yours, the fact that we're stealing their jobs, you know? Like, people are saying that we steal their jobs, but the fact that you don't want to do those jobs, as I you know, again, a Hispanic American who was born here, who's proud of his heritage and proud to be an American, I went through the same process as anyone else. I put in an application. I put in a resume. I send them a thank you letter for, you know, reviewing my applications. And I have many references who were American and who were Hispanic Americans, or not just Hispanic Americans, African American, Indian or Muslim or, you know, whoever. And I got my job through that process. I currently work at Goodwill. And the fact that I got that job and I work the most hours of most of my peers. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Did I steal someone's job? No.
It was not. It was a job to be had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw that they needed workers. I needed money, you know. I'm a high schooler. Like, sometimes I want to, you know, I want to have some Chick-fil-A or something.
Right.
Like, did I take someone's job? Like, please, again, correct me if I'm wrong. For me to go through that long, lengthy process, to wait for a call, to go through an interview, and just wait for that. You will start Monday morning for that relief that I'm going to get a form of income. I just want to say, did I take someone's job? But the whole farming thing of you can be a farmer but not be a United States citizen. So what about all the, you know, imports that we buy from other countries? You know, we buy so much of imports. Are we saying that they will never become a United States citizen? We're leaving, you know, to be from being farmers, you know, to be doctors, lawyers, you know, maybe the next president.
Indeed.
Like, we're not stealing anyone's job. We're trying to take the same opportunity as, you know, as my peers next to me. You know, I'm just as, you know, eligible to get a job at a fast food restaurant or to a doctor's, you know, hospital board.
All right, comments.
That I think that those are very good points, you know, especially when you're talking about like stealing someone's job. There's also another point that immigrants will take the lowest paying job just so they can support their families. It's not like they're coming to steal all your money. It's they're trying to support their families, and it's a very hard thing. They don't know what exactly a lot of immigrants who are from Mexico, the reason they come here in a lot of Hispanic countries is because there are gangs.
Oh, yeah.
They have to worry about their children being killed every day. They have to worry about their women being taken every day. It's a very scary thing. In El Salvador, in water parks, they have soldiers standing around with military guns to protect them from a gang. It's a very real reality for them. And to come here to America to just try and make ends meet, I don't see an issue with it. I want them to get citizenship, but I wish it was less of a difficult thing to attain.
Why does immigration remain such a hot topic? Why? I mean, it's like there's no end to it. We've talked about immigration on here before, and here we are still talking about immigration. I mean, is tightening the border security the way to go? Yeah, Jude.
I hang a flag in the what would happen if we did open the borders? And I feel like people, John and I, they rather be safe than try something new, letting people in.
What do you think, what role do you think the color of one's skin plays when it comes to this whole immigration?
Large role?
Because, you know, these people coming in are white. They're non-white. And they can't pass. Most of them can't, okay? And I just wonder, what role, because we haven't talked about that. You know, we've talked about, oh, they should be able to come. You know, but that plays, that has something to do with it. So I would like to hear you. Let's look at that.
It's a large role, plays a large role when it comes to color because, well, I can't really say why. I don't really see it as that way. I see them as, you know, people. Mm-hmm. But when people, you know, I've constantly looked at color. There's still prejudice. There's still racism when it comes to mm-hmm. it. And, you know, they look at that person and they think, oh, even if they were like an American and their parents were born here and their grandparents were born here, they still see the color and they still see them as something that is a threat rather than not. And I want to know why this color or anyone's color is threatening to people.
Those are like really great topics. I want to like bring like something, you know, to the table. Recent, you know, not too long ago, we had that Muslim ban. Mm-hmm. I know that's a very touchy topic.
We've talked about it. You can talk about it. Okay. It's no problem.
Thank you. I just feel like
no.
Like obviously, I'm a tan color, you know, but how am I going into, you know, like a jeans store to buy some jeans? How am I more dangerous because of my skin? Like, let's go back in time, you know, and then where things were not so great, you know, like in the 1950s, you know, when Martin Luther King was saying, like, when he was presenting I Have a Dream speech, you know, we had, you know, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, you know, all that, you know, wonderful colors, you know, on all shades of the spectrum, standing side by side, and how and what I feel like we still haven't evolved.
Why do you think we haven't evolved? And I agree with you. Everything that you're saying, I totally agree. But why, and from your perspective, why are we still where we are?
We believe that we like to think that, oh, as technology evolves, I'm evolving myself, you know, to be smarter, to be more intellectual. But in actuality, we don't evolve as a person. I believe that, mm-hmm. yes, our technologies are great, but I feel like as people, we don't evolve. Our problems evolve into something different, but still the same. Like for the whole, you know, Hispanic children's being torn apart, you know, that breaks my heart. But yeah. So the whole Walmart being changed into like a juvenile detention center. Juvenile detention centers are ripped away from their family because they do something bad. But those children have done nothing. They have done nothing. They're just in this world to be happy and to, you know, grow up. So let's go not too long back, you know, where we took Asian Americans and put them in camps.
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference between that? Nothing. There's a huge difference.
They're non-white.
They're non-white. That's the similarity.
Mm-hmm. It's the fear.
Yeah, and it's the fear. Because during that time, that there was a really bad act, you know, the Pearl Harbor. You know, that was the mm-hmm. whole scary thing. I can understand people's tension level were on edge, you know, like, oh, that Asian man down the road, you know, he could be an espionage spy or something. But I'm here as a citizen, you know, to have a better life. That's what my mom told me. She was like, son, listen to me. I don't want you to have the life that I grew up in the poor country, walking, you know, 5+ miles just to go to the grocery store with, you know, not even shoes on your feet, walking on rubble, broken glass, sharp rocks. And when I visited El Salvador, it broke my heart because it's such for a beautiful country. we are so poor and we're so fearful of our gangs there. We have a designated prison just for them. That's really? How bad it is down there.
Mm-hmm.
And for women to not dress how they freely want to be, because the thought of being assaulted is so frightening. Like, women can't even wear makeup down there because of the female gangs.
Were you comfortable when you were there? Or were you uncomfortable? Were you looking over your shoulder?
I was constantly looking over my shoulder.
Okay.
I was that frightful.
Were you approached? And then
multiple times.
Oh, really?
Multiple times.
Women can't go anywhere without a man. It's too scary.
Women have to be escorted by a man. And if they go by themselves, they're taking that risk of being abducted and used for unmentionable things that I'd rather not say, because it breaks my heart. The fact that I can lose a family member at any point of the day, it's horrible. It's anxiety ridden. Like, I have panic attacks daily because of that. Like, I still have family from El Salvador, and the thought that I could probably never see them ever again. Like, I'm going to give you guys, an example.
Okay.
All right. Let's say you walk 5+ miles to the market. You have $12 in your pocket. Okay. You spend, $6. You have some fruits, some vegetables to cook at home. You're stopped by members. They want all the money you have. And if you don't have any money, they take what you have that's on you. And they can take the food that you bought or the clothes off your back. Or if they wanted to,
they'll rape you.
For women, they'll rape you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a man, they will want you to join. They'll beat you. Or if they're just not in the mood, they'll shoot you dead in the street.
And that's an everyday occurrence. That's the norm.
That's the norm.
And most people don't know that these gangs are in America, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're here and... The reason they are is because they're what's called coyotes. They help people who want to get here with whatever money they have. But there have been a lot of incidences where these people who just wanted to get across have been killed because they pay the money to get here, but they don't realize and they're not told until they're here that there's another fee for drop-off. Mm-hmm. And then they're brutally, not even just shot, they're brutally, dismembered and left.
It's, or beaten or assaulted.
It's horrendous. And, that's all from the fear, the illegal immigration, people fearing that, because, they fear the Japanese, this person could have been here for, how many years and be, a complete American citizen. Their parents may have came there.
But they look different.
Yeah, they're still considered that. So you're going to, look at these children and just assume because something bad happened. Even with Muslims, there was because of these people who did bad things. In Ohio, two women were assaulted for wearing hijabs and they were brutally beaten.
I remember that.
All for wearing hijabs.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's horrifying thing.
Well, did you have something you wanted to say, Jim?
Okay,
recognizing that all of this exists, okay, that it is not, there's no debate about that. How does the United States, how do we address border security? Because there has to be some policies.
Yes.
We can't just let everybody come in. Okay?
Mm, of course.
So, what do we do? How do we tighten border security? What way do you think would be effective? Yes, Jude.
I know for the fact that people should be deported into America. Is it a very good system?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we need to take a look at that and fix it.
No. Do you have any suggestions? Okay, yeah.
Borders you're not going to really find a good way to fix it if someone wants to get in, they're going to get in. And if they're going to build a tunnel, make a boat, they're going to get in. So, you know, unless we build a huge wall, a huge dome around America.
Like the Simpson movie.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way.
That's the thing. They think that the only solution to this problem is to keep them out rather than have a policy for entrance. There's no policy for entrance. You have to find a way to get here and then get citizenship because the wait lists are too long and they're not having a very progressive process. All it's doing is causing people to like want to find the quickest way here because this mother thinks my child has at 12 years old has just been asked to join this gang. And I know if they do, they're going to be killed or I'll be killed. I need to get out of here now. How do I do that?
Let me add to that because there is policy. There's very strict policy, as I said. My mother just became a United States citizen. And the fact that the waiting list is so long, you know, you can wait there for, you know, a couple weeks to a couple months, you know, to years. There's people still waiting. You know, people have been applying for like, you know, 10 plus years because they really want to leave that lifestyle.
And I think, let me interrupt here. Mm-hmm. I asked you to hold your thought. But I think that there's something that says, you know, that people want to come to this country, okay? I mean, that's something in itself where, like you say, where they're coming from, what they're experiencing. And all they want is a better life. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we will return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Today's immigrants are largely Hispanic or Asian, which is a change from the predominantly European immigrants of the past. Again, I ask, and I know you were talking, what role does racial attitude and prejudice play? Are we talking about xenophobia? Well, look at that. You can continue what you were saying.
The policy. You know, that's already enlisted. They're already strict. There's just like things on there that the average American don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, my mom took, you know, it took 20 odd plus years to become a fully recognized citizen. And
but that's probably by design. It's probably set up that way.
Yeah,
so you have to jump a lot of hoops, you know, and spend a lot of money and time so that you can become a citizen and
expensive.
Still be discriminated against because of the way you look.
I'm glad you bring up discrimination because, like, as I, you know, go into, you know, the public, you know, every single day as my right as a citizen here, I deal with a lot of racism and a lot of prejudice. And, you know, like when I'm out with my friends or I'm out with my girlfriend, you know, out, you know, to the movies or to the mall, you know, or I'm in the dressing room putting on clothes. I hear, like, people don't think, like, I can speak very well English and I can speak very well Spanish. And I can hear them saying, like, keep an eye on him. Like, he's going to steal. He's going to run out. And, like,
how does that make you feel? What do you do? How do you handle it?
At first, I used to be so angry and so appalled by it. I would make a scene. And it's like, I was born here. I've lived here for something odd amount of years. What gives you the right to say something like that? Like, I can go into a store dressed how I'm dressed, you know, regular t-shirt, cargo shorts and some Sperry's, and I have to be, you know, watched because I'm Hispanic, and they're not very slick with it. I can hear them. They say it like how we're talking right now, you know, like the words they say, you know, they're hurtful. You know, a lot of people say, well, words don't hurt. Words hurt, you know, like being called a spick, a wetback, a Mexican, a corn picker, you know, like
anything derogatory like that.
Any derogatory, again, like wetback, you know, because, you know, a lot of them Hispanic people are farmers. We're hunched over a lot, you know, picking up. I was a farmer, like in Quincy, you know, living there for a while. We had chickens, we had vegetables, and we had to, you know, pick them up from the ground. And it's a hard job. Even for most people who have gardens, that's a difficult hobby to have and keep pursuing. But to, you know, have acres of land,
it's another whole.
It's a whole different story.
Let me hear from you all. Comments on just whatever we've been talking about. What do you think?
I lived in Colombia, and he was being chased after by a gang. So he moved here to America, and I know from him that it was a difficult process, mm-hmm. and the people who want to come here are really needing to be here, mm-hmm. and they are just trying to get in to my mess-up and I try to stop gang violence. They really want to be here. I don't know if it's right to deny so many people access and I in danger.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about the whole immigration process and how you have to know your amendments in history and such. And I personally think that's good. I think it's sad that I'm going to be honest. I know my First Amendment. I know my Second Amendment. And those are the two hot topic ones that I know. I think that we're Americans. We should know where we came from. We should know what our rights are. And I feel that part of becoming an American is knowing that stuff.
But personally. Did you know that most Americans high school students don't even know their human rights. Not even.
That's our issue.
That's the issue. You expect someone who doesn't know anything about American history and probably does not even have some school, because schools in these countries are scarce, to learn a whole new language and then to learn rules. But yet we don't have the same expectations of high school students.
It's a double standard.
It is a very big double standard, because I know high school students who can't even do division, right, or anything like that. And I think that that's a very...
That's sad.
But that's,
it
that's
is a very sad.
Sad
thing, and it's a very...
That's another whole issue. You're right.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the school system now.
And then there's other, you know, like he said, his uncle who was like running from these gangs, these people who would run from gangs, when they would get here, DACA used to protect their children. And most of the time, that's what they wanted. They wanted their children just to be protected, mm-hmm. like... Okay, if I go, you'll be okay. But now that's not even here anymore. These children are no longer protected, and they're children. So you would rather, and for silly reasons too. The reasons that people have are not anything to go off of.
Can you enlighten some of the reasons?
Reasons like taking jobs. Reasons like, oh, they did it illegally, so they're in the wrong. Mm-hmm. But what is the difference between... There's a large difference between people who come here illegally just to get a job, like every other person, and do
Send
all of those
money
things.
Home. Mm-hmm.
Then the person who commits the crime of a DUI, or a person who commits a crime of murder, or anything along those lines, well, we treat them the same as those people, but obviously the crimes, so-called crimes, are very largely different.
I have to say, and I've alluded to this before, that I find it very interesting, and I understand well what you all are saying, but I don't think that you have a grasp of the real issue. The real issue is You look more like me. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, we look alike. You could pass for being black, brother.
People came up to me and say...
I got relatives look like you. Okay? Yes, all right? So the real issue here, you mentioned it, was racism and discrimination. Now, that is what is at the base of it. And you all have skirted around it. I mean, I know it's something uncomfortable. Just like when you were talking about what you experienced.
Racism Let me finish.
When you were talking about what you experienced going into the store, and they were watching you, and brothers have been complaining about that for years.
Yeah.
You walk into the store, and they automatically, you know, stereotype you.
Yeah.
Why? You don't look any different. You aren't dressed any different than a typical teenager. But there's one thing that's different about you.
My skin color.
Your skin color and your hair. Okay. I mean, those are things that they judge you on. I mean, and I can't offer an explanation to it except to say, get used to it, dear, because it's going to be like that. I mean, it's going, that's just the reality. And yes, there are situations that are blatantly discriminatory, egregious kinds of things that are happening. That's the reality of it.
But,
you know, we got to take it further than that. And I think you have to understand, you know, this is the climate, okay? And the things that happen in, I mean, if you have the president, come on now. I mean, if you got the president telling the judge, you know, his parents came from Mexico, and that's enough a reason for him not to deal with him. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, you know, but that's basically what he said. If you had the president saying, Puerto Rico, there are people in Puerto Rico who still don't have their utilities, okay? How many people died in Puerto Rico?
Thousands.
I mean, and that's the reality, okay? What do you expect? If it comes from the top and it trickles down, you got the president okaying and saying, that's all right. You know, it's all right to go to Charlottesville and beat up on those folks. In fact, some of those folks were some good folks. I mean, what message is that saying? What does that say? Does that say it's okay?
He doesn't think it's his problem. The president is sitting pretty, but he doesn't see the actual problems. He doesn't see the stereotypes. He doesn't see the way that people stare.
He may not see, or he may not care.
He doesn't care, and he doesn't see it, and nothing.
He might see it well, but he might not. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's almost like, how can you not see it?
Can I interject?
But let me hear some other people.
I'll be quick. You're never going to get rid of racism.
Right.
I'm going to be honest. As long as somebody thinks that someone looks different and they are different, it's racism is, unless we euthanize everyone that is slightly racist, and everyone's a little bit racist, everyone has some sort of a stereotype, racism will always exist. And
that's a good point, Devin. That's a very valid point. That's the reality, yes.
I'm not saying like the president doesn't care. As a president, your job, Your boss is the people. Your boss is the people. You know, we have the full right to impeach him if he does anything unconstitutional. And I wouldn't say that he doesn't care. He's just trying to protect, you know, the United States citizen. I'm being optimistic about it.
Okay. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I'm being optimistic.
Yeah.
That's good.
But
that's positive.
But I'm not saying that he doesn't care. Or he does too little about it. It's he hasn't experienced what I've been through. He hasn't experienced what you have been through. He hasn't experienced what a person of color been through. Like, I can explain all day through what it's like in my eyes every single day. I deal with racism every single day. You probably deal with racism every single day.
Oh no! Of course not. Why do you think that? I'm being facetious.
The crazy thing is, like, from a young age, you know, if you think back to, like, first grade, second grade, we're taught, you know, you're given a box of crayons. There's all these colors in it. And, you know, there's all these colors and you love all these colors. You don't care what color it is. You could draw a person purple, you can draw them pink, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But then as you get older, you hear these prejudices. Hate is a thing that is learned.
Oh, yeah.
And it's embedded into people, into children. You know, I've caught multiple people saying things and I'll say, why did you just say that? And they'll be like, oh, I didn't mean. Well, you did. You said it. So, you know, that's just the reality of it. That, like, small children are just.
I think it's a problem. Most of the the right levels in the terms of the American people are mostly right. And I feel like that might be a bit of a problem because they're supposed to be voting for the people, but it's not very representative of the people. Live in America.
Mm-hmm. I want to say something real quick. Like, as a person in high school who's a senior, we just recently had, shout out to Sale High School. But we just recently had an Hispanic Heritage, you know, appreciation. And, you know, Human Relations were the host of it. And we took, you know, an entire month, you know, day in and day out, hours and hours to, you know, to educate the people. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, making it into a boring, you know, lesson, you know, everyone falls asleep in history. You know, it's storytelling, you know. But my idea to Tiffany, the principal, was let's turn it into a festival, like a food truck Thursday, right? You know,
and how'd that work?
It went beautifully. You know, we had Hispanic foods from all different places, like Guatemala, Salvador, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Spain.
Okay,
and we had posted boards about, you know, the imports, exports. What's the most, like, what country purchases our imports and exports? Mm-hmm. And majority of that is America, by the way. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And we had music, you know, people enjoyed the music. People were dancing, salsaing, you know. And everyone learned a little bit more about Hispanic heritage.
And that's the secret, though. I mean, education. I mean, I think, I don't know who mentioned it, but I think we talked about fear earlier. Somebody mentioned fear and being different. And the only way you overcome that is through education. Before we close, because we only got a couple minutes. Do you think that the number of families and unaccompanied children are really a symptom of the larger problem? Okay. And when I say that, I'm talking about just the whole broken immigration system. Okay. It's broken. The whole system is broken. Doesn't matter what color you are. Now, yeah, we have some discrepancies. I mean, with Cuba, you can come over, and Haitians, they send you back. So there's all that kind of stuff that's going on. But don't you think the problem is maybe just that the system is broken when we look at immigration, and maybe we need to fix the system? And I think you said something about that earlier,
too. Yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to bring that up, that might just be the system.
That is, you know, another topic about it. You know, people saying that the system is broken, but we also have to realize, you know, the giant iron lady that sits on that island in New York City, the Statue of Liberty. A lot of people don't remember the quote that came with that, with our lady, you know, give us your sick. Give us the people that you don't want. Give us the people who run away from prosecution and execution. You know, people still don't know that. And I've read that in a history book. I took my time to read that.
I got to cut you off because we are out of time.
Oh.
Melvin, you got to come back. We have to do this again.
I'll be glad to.
Okay. To my listening audience, thank you for your time and your ear. We really appreciate you tuning in. Check us out next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.